You're listening to the Farmyard Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? And our Patreon supporters.
Episode 19, The Wealth in the Weeds, with host Linda Borgie.
Well, hello there. Linda Borgie here from Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? So I have been on quite the tour, quite the adventure in the past month. I am recording this on August the 26th of 2017. And the title of this episode is The Wealth in Weeds. Yep. But before I get into that, I just have to give you a little bit of background about where I've been on the past 3 weeks. It's been such a wild ride. My son, Brandon, was married, and I, along with my friend Janet Johnson, who I've known for God knows how long now, decades, and our friends down there in Silver Springs, Maryland, Egley and Victoria, we created all of the flower arrangements and bouquets and boutonnieres and corsages and headpieces that were necessary for his wedding. And along with all of those flowers that I transported from Silver Springs, Maryland to his wedding in Garrison, New York, also in my Volvo was everything I needed for 7 workshops at the New Hampton Healing Farm in New Hampton, New York. I tell you, I felt like an engineer. Everything had a place. But you know, before I did anything, I sat here in my home in Beaufort, South Carolina, and made a plan in my head, like what I needed to take and where it was going to fit in the car and what did I have to measure. And so I really had a big head start, so to speak. That's funny, isn't it? I think so. But anyway, so from there, from the wedding, I went to the New Hampton Healing Farm and did give 7 workshops. And then I went to the eastern shore of Virginia, and I spent 2 evenings at Perennial Roots Farm. That is Stuart and Natalie Lundy's biodynamic farm. And boy, you'll be hearing an awful lot more about that particular location and an awful lot more about biodynamics. Because of these brilliant new young thinkers in the area of biodynamics, like Stuart and Natalie Lundy. So, I come back. Now, I was gone for 3 weeks, right? And I had my friend Wanda. She was here taking care of my yard farm, taking care of the Airbnb, the Tidal Marsh Inn, right? And when I left, I had very few flowers blooming. Just really, it was very spotty, very, very few. And while I was away, they all woke up and opened their eyes. And while I was away as well, for the first 2 weeks, Wanda told me it rained every single day. So here you go. And then the 3rd week, it was nothing but sun. So here you go. So I come back 3 weeks later. And may God strike me dead, I could not believe how quickly everything grew, not just the flowers, but the weeds as well. Because when I left, I'm very particular about outside. I'm outside every day, taking care of everything and all the needs of everything that's growing outside every day. So it's never really, you know, burdensome or a chore or heavy work, because I have the knowledge of how long it takes me to do all these different tasks, you know. So I can plan my week accordingly. And I have a calendar, a biodynamic calendar, that I go by insofar as all of my Farmyard activities are concerned, and that kind of organizes me to certain activities. It's really a very good plan. So the weeds were really incredible. And the first thing I thought was, gosh, you know, this land 1 year ago was a desert wasteland. Absolutely. Positively. Mr. Gallagher and Mr. Sheen, a desert wasteland. It was nothing but fire ant drilling holes everywhere. That's what the earth was here in 1805 Palmetto Drive, Beaufort, South Carolina. And now, 1 year later, it's like a flower shop. It's like a tropical rainforest. There was so much green. These weeds it was incredible. And then the next thing that went into my head was, oh my God, I'm going to have enough to make a compost pile. Oh my word. When I thought that thought, it was like it turned me into the Energizer Bunny. And what was the first thing that I did? The first thing that I did was I had to decide my plan in my head as I sat there under the tree observing the situation. What was I thinking about? What area I was going to do first? Where I was going to place the pile? Where the whole pile was going to go when I was complete, because there were different areas that needed to be done. So I thought about all of that. So I decided right in the front of me where the tall African marigolds were, they're not there any longer, and the sunflowers, that I would start in that area because that whole area needed to be replanted for my fall crops. So the first thing I did was I got, you know, an old vinyl shower curtain liner that I've had for a long time, laid it out on the ground, and pulled out by the root balls all of the tall African marigolds and placed it on the vinyl liner because they were all setting seed. And I was, you know, this is the time of year to start to save for the future. So I chopped off all of those root balls, and that went in the wheelbarrow. And the wheelbarrow was going to be my collection vessel. And then there was an area by the sunflowers that I decided I was going to start there because it was such a wealth, such an abundance of weeds, my friends. I felt so rich pulling those weeds out, you see. Number one for me, weeding is a very wonderful way for me to dissipate my global frustrations. So I had all of this to work with, you know. So I was able to release all of my frustrations globally, right? And the weeds themselves, they give me no resistance. They almost jump into my hand. Honest to goodness gracious. So I went at it like the Energizer Bunny, and I did one pile, I did another pile, I did a third pile. And then my friend Wanda, she cooked up a beautiful batch of jumbo shrimp. We saved all those shells and pineapple, and we saved all of that, all of the rind from the pineapple. And now I have the material to build a compost pile. Now, it won't be a very large compost pile, but it's enough material so that I can actually make a pile, because it has to be a pile. It has to be rounded. It has to be the shape of a woman's breast when she's lying down. That's the shape, rounded. And now that I have the base, now I could build on that, you know? So I'm so excited because I have never in all my day seen such growth. That might be why you don't see people growing things here. You know, I drive around. I'm so nosy. And the speed limit's kind of slow on the residential streets. And I love to just drive around and look at people's houses and what they have growing. Well, everyone has crepe myrtle growing. And that's about it. Anyone that seems to have flowers growing or other things growing, they're all in pots. And I didn't understand that. Well, I didn't understand it because when I got here and it was a desert wasteland, I wasn't really that concerned at all because I had Java juice in my toolbox. Yep, Java juice is what I stir in my buckets. And Java juice is what I spray on the land. And as a biodynamic farmer, I am not just farming the earth beneath my feet. I'm farming the air as well. You know, it's very interesting principles, very understandable concepts when it's taught in a clear and concise manner. And Stuart Lundy really is that kind of a teacher, boy. He really, gosh, so wonderful to have these new brains on board. That's all I could. That's all this 62-year-old grandmother can say. It's very thrilling for me. So now I have my pile, I have my wealth, and I have my Java juice. And what did I do when I arrived and it was fire ant drilling holes? Well, first of all, I made peace with those fire ants and I started talking to them, telling them that I was going to make the soil, that I was going to start to grow soil. And I was going to stir and spray and stir and spray and stir and spray. And that's what I did. I stirred and I sprayed. So, in doing so, what that did was it grew soil. Now, I knew that I wasn't trying these methods out to see if they worked. Because right now, as I'm recording this on my phone with these headphones on, right? In Egypt, they're converting double the size of Central Park every year from desert into beautiful, tillable humus. Now, people have asked me many times in the past, how does it work? I really, honest to goodness gracious, I don't really know how it works. I understand the concepts. And I've always understood the methodology of intention and energy follows thought and ancient wisdom and sacred geometry and labyrinths and unseen forces and the Gita. You know, I've studied all of that, those methodologies. I find them all very interesting. And throughout all of them, what I have seen, if you boil it down in a pot to a simple syrup, as my grandmother would say, they all have basic truth. And whatever each and every one of those methodologies, each and every one of their truths, right, rang true to me, I picked it up and I started to do it. And biodynamics, I had recipes. I had intentions. Food and water, everyone, every day. Yep-a-rooney. That's my intention. Boy, how different would it be, right? Just stop for a second now, right? Just stop for 1 second. And just think about that. Everyone. Food and water. Everyone, every day. But you know, we do also have to say what kind of food and what kind of water. And here living in Beaufort, South Carolina, it can't be onions being sold in the stupid market from Peru. It can't be that because that's so stupid. It's really dumb. Oh, God. So dumb when you buy 50, you can buy onion sets, right? 50 of them for $10. You make a hole, you stick them in the ground. Then when you need onion, you go outside and you pull it up. Here you go, bingo, bango, bongo. And not only do you just pull it up, but it doesn't have to go on a boat or a jet plane. We have to conserve our energies and We have to eat food that's grown locally because it's better for our bodies. You know, being an urban farmer in the Hudson Valley of New York State for 11 years, I would tell people every February, you don't want to be eating watermelon in February, folks, because nowhere in this region can we grow a watermelon right now. So because of that, it means that food, that fruit that your body's going to rely on for nutrients, right, is going to have to travel far and wide. And by the time it gets to your digestive tract, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to have a lot of Java juice, life force, you know, like a nice cup of Joe, something that's really going to enliven you, not just fill you, enliven you, make you feel really tingly, you know, like those moments in life where everything is marvelous. Well, when you consume food that has that kind of energy, right, then it starts to permeate your being. And boy, it feels pretty good. I must say, it feels pretty good. But then again, I've known this for a long time, and I've been doing this for a long, long time. My daughter says to me, you know, Ma, it's 30 years. You're saying the same thing, the same sentences, and you don't even change the words in the sentences. But I'll tell you something that's been different as of late. What's different as of late is that people are coming around and asking questions now, like, how do you spell acidophilus, and how do you eat kohlrabi? There's an awareness that's rising, and that's all we need. We need that level of awareness to rise, and once that rises, we start consuming some really food that's alive, right? Then we'll be able to activate our will into action. And we need action. In order for action, we need will. And we need shifting to take place, especially in the energy field. So if you want to use some Java juice for your very own, if you want to get some for your very own, if you want to learn about biodynamics, I will add some links in the show notes to get you started in that direction. And I hope that, no, I can't use that word. I don't want to use that word any longer. Hope is always in the future and we'll never catch it. I know that the next time you see an abundance of weeds, that you will look at it in a different way. And as long as you get those lovely, lovely, lovely compost-producing, photosynthesis-factory-producing weeds before they set seed, you could just let them grow and let them grow to a certain length. So you could say, oh, I'm not going to pull those weeds out yet. I'm going to let them get to be about 5 inches. Then I'll pull them because I'll have more volume, more wealth, more benefit to me, to the earth beneath my feet, and really to all of humanity, because it is merely a 6-inch layer of topsoil. And the fact that it rains, that's what we owe our entire existence. Kooky, right? But true. Well, with that being said, I would like to thank all of our Patreon supporters who support this podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We couldn't do it without you. Honest to goodness, we just couldn't. And I will see you on the flip side. And until then, go farm a yard biodynamically.
Hey, Next on the Farm Yard Podcast, yard farming in the Bronx, with host Linda Borgi. You got a problem with that?